Tour Junkies.
Welcome to the Tour Junkies podcast. We have got a phenomenal interview for you in this episode with Max Homa. Now, if you're not familiar with Max Homa, he's played on the PGA Tour. He's had quite a run on the Web.com Tour, two-time winner, great college career, member of the Walker Cup team, and just a funny, funny dude. Great Twitter follow at MaxHoma23 if you're not already. And we sit down with Max and we talk about his progression as a player, moving through the Web.com Tour, moving to the PGA Tour, getting back out on the Web.com Tour, what PGA Tour friend of his is most like Dwight Schrute, and how to pick up girls on tour with a phone number on a golf ball. Pretty good stuff here for Max Homa. He's a fantastic listen. You will not regret it. Before we get to the interview, I do have to let you guys know the holidays are always around the corner, right? And if you got to go to the holiday stuff with your wife, with your significant other, whatever it may be, they're going to want you to look good, okay? If you need to look good, we got help for you. It's ledbury.com/tourjunkies. ledbury.com/tourjunkies is the site, guys. If you want to get a high quality dress shirt, European quality fabrics, a good slim fit or traditional fit option, whatever you like, the fabrics are well made. You can easily return something if you don't get the size you need or it's just not quite the way that you needed it to look. Fantastic company. Pat and myself have a Ledbury shirt or two in the closet. Our wives love it. We love it. You don't have to iron the thing. It's super low maintenance, right? So if you go to ledbury.com/tourjunkies, put in tour junkies, all one word, in the promo code box at checkout. Ledbury is offering 20% off to all of our listeners on their first order. 20% off on your first order if you are a Tour Junkies subscriber, so check that out. Thanks to those guys for supporting the podcast. So for now, enjoy the interview with Max Homa. You will not regret this download. Here you go.
What's up, golf addicts? It is the Tour Junkies podcast, and we're excited to have a brand new guest on the podcast with us this week. We've been talking to this guy for a little while, trying to get him on. He's a great interview. He's a great golfer, young talent. He's been grinding here lately. He's 26 years old, born in Los Angeles, and likely the only podcast guest we've ever had to wake up early enough, like probably before the sun, to hop on this interview. Max Homa, we appreciate you getting up, man. I know it's bright and early over there, but I mean, if you can't get up for the Tour Junkies podcast, I'm not really sure what you can get up for, right?
No, that's exactly right. I'm running on pure adrenaline. just being able to be on the pod. So, yeah, I want to thank you guys for having me on, although it is a bit early.
Nah, man, we appreciate it. Happy early birthday, too, by the way. You turned 27 this week, right?
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, on Sunday. So, yeah, no, nice. I don't think I'm any longer the young talent. I think I'm becoming just something now. Just maybe a little bit of talent.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I did a little Google searching in preparation for this, and you know we're going to get to something related to this later. But if you look at your Google image search, you look the same as you did like crying on the golf course when you were a guy at Cal winning the finals. You look exactly the same. So 27 or 22, I don't really see much difference. You age well out there in LA. But Max, you turned pro in like 2014. You've won twice on the web.com. Had a stint on the PGA Tour, grinding it out right now to get back. You're a Titleist, Travis Matthew guy, which is cool. Those are two brands I'm a big fan of. Big Dodgers fan, Lakers fan. Played golf at Cal, like I mentioned. Won nationals as a senior. Member of the Walker Cup team. Just a pretty good golf career so far, man. And I think you're on the up and up. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what's going on in your life right now with Q School first. Let's talk about that and tell us how that even works, because I don't think a lot of people even understand how Q School works.
Yeah, man, you made it sound really like I'm really good. Thank you very much. I need
you that. Are yeah, man. No worries.
Yeah, so I just got through second stage of Q School a week or so ago. So now there's a final stage, and final stage is the first week of December. I was the first year in 2014 that Q School no longer went straight to the PGA Tour, which was fine at the time. I was bummed, but it actually makes a lot of sense. So people think that there's no longer Q School. There's still the exact same format for the most part. Now at final stage, everyone there gets some sort of web status, although if you're not part of the top 44 who get full or pretty much full status, you probably won't play. But at least you get, I think, a few of the benefits that that the full web guys do. But yeah, so you, like I said, it's four rounds now, not six. And top 44 and ties get full, pretty much full status through this next upcoming web season. So that's kind of what I'm going for. I have past champion status. It's not great. You pretty much will just play for the most part of the tournaments you've won. So that's why, you know, you want to go back there and try to get as good a status as you possibly can.
So when you get to the final stage and you got to finish top 44, how many guys are in that?
I don't know exactly because it's basically there were five. There were five second stage sites and about 20 people got through each site. But then there's another chunk of people that were exempt through to final stage, you know, through either, the web or the PGA Tour or whatever it was. So there's, I think if I remember right, when I did this the first time, there were about 150-ish. So it's not bad odds when you think about it. 44 out of 150 is not bad. I mean, second stage is 20 out of, 90-ish. So it's really not bad odds, but it's a lot of people, two courses and stuff. So it's a lot of kind of work to get done, but could be worse. I had to do the one with six rounds, which is exhausting.
Yeah. Well, and you've obviously been playing well. Where do you, when is the final stage and where's it going to be?
It's the December 7th to the 10th. It's in Chandler, Arizona. I've never been there, but it's a course called Whirlwind. I guess there's two courses there. I don't know. People say it's good. They used to do the one and it would bounce back and forth from PJ West in Palm Springs and to the course they play the Honda at out in Florida. So for me personally, I mean, if it was in Palm Springs, it'd be great, but I did not want to go all the way to Florida. So I'll take Arizona.
I got a question, man. Listen, we do this thing every year. We do web.com superlative, right? And we take screenshots of these new guys. I was looking at your PGA Tour deal, and one of the things I always go to is what'd you major in college, right? And Max, can you explain to us what your major of consumer behavior looks like at Cal? Is that a cop-out major?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, all right, you owned it. Good.
Yeah, UC Berkeley is a very, very difficult school, and I think I can't even lie and say that I would have gotten in there without golf. So I got there. I was all of a sudden – I mean, I'm not a bad student by any means, but – I got there and I was now part of probably the bottom 15 dumbest people on a 30,000 person campus. And I realized that I might need a little bit of help. So, a lot of athletes do that. It's actually not the easiest major in the world, but what it is it's very broad. So you can, you can take a lot of different types of classes, which helps with the scheduling and stuff, in all seriousness, because you have to, it's very hard to get all, we had to be done school every day by 1 PM. That was absolutely as late as we could go. So that's pretty hard because a lot of the kids on my team, like, Hagee and, Weaver and Joel, my year did the business school, which is as pretty much as good of a, or as hard of a major as you can get. They all had to redshirt a year because you just can't take those classes when we played. So, I didn't want to redshirt. I wasn't as smart as them. I didn't want to deal with what they dealt with. So I went to my advisor and pretty much saw what all the other athletes were doing. And I was like, I want to do that.
Hey man, no offense here. I mean, I did the same thing. Except I wasn't even an athlete. Yeah. I wasn't even an athlete, which makes it worse. I just wanted to cruise through school. So, good on you. I mean, I never would have thought about the scheduling angle. And I think that's interesting. So, because I always look at these, and I'm like, look at this cop-out major, and you think, I never realized, the expectations on you guys to be done by a certain time. And, I mean, I know at the school I went to, Augusta State, you didn't have a lot of options, you couldn't have made your class schedule look like that? Or if you did, you're taking like 9 hours and you're graduating in 7 years if you graduate. So
exactly. I remember I was at the Players Am in South Carolina, I think it was. And we had that day, we had what they do for athletes that is nice is that they block off before pretty much everyone. They block off a time where we can pick our classes first. And so they did that. However, if you weren't a major in that subject by then, there you couldn't take upper class classes at that time. So I remember there was I finished my round. I was going to finish my round around 1:15 for one, and then I was going to have to run to my room and schedule these classes because I was right at the beginning of the hour. And I remember I'm playing golf, of course, and you're freaking out about your class schedule, and I finish and I sprint to my room. I'm a little bit, after 1 o'clock, which is when I open, and I'm getting all my classes. I had a list and I pretty much went like boom, 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 trying to get my four or five classes I was taking. And my fourth or fifth one doesn't hit. And I'm like, damn it. I was like, okay, I got to pick a new one. And I hadn't really like done research on it. I'm like, oh, this one seems all right. It's called Game Theory. I'll put it in. And I remember I was like, okay. And I get to school and I'm happy because my schedule's all laid out and get to school. All the other classes are fine. I get into this game theory class, which of course is one I have no idea about. And I sit down and about the second thing after hello that my teacher said was, so we're going to be using a lot of calculus in this class. And I was like, holy shit, this is about to be real bad. I was like, oh God, this isn't good.
Yikes.
And then, that turned out to be easily the hardest class I've ever taken in my life. And so my whole plan had backfired at that exact moment. So when you see a football player and they all, not all, but a lot of them have public relations, you got to give them a little slack because it's not as easy as it sounds to get all these classes done, and you don't want to end up taking a class like I did.
Yikes, Max, you just jabbed me. You don't even know. My major was public relations.
Yeah, hey, I'm not jabbing you. Major. I say other people jab. Every time I watch on TV and someone comes up public relations, my friend's like, oh, of course, public relations, that's easy. It might not be that easy.
Exactly what I took. That's funny. Hey, you name dropped Brandon Hagee there. I know you played golf with some other guys. I know you're Walker Cup teammate with a lot of guys. But I also didn't you played with Ben Hunt on, didn't you?
Yeah, for a year. Yeah.
You keep in touch with Benny on?
No, not really.
Not really.
He had a different situation in our school. He's a really nice guy, but he lived off campus. He was only there for a year. Played well with us. We had a very, very tight team. We were all really good friends. I think we are still pretty good friends. I don't know if I feel bad for him, but he just didn't fit that mold. And he played good golf and kind of came in 1 year and bounced. So, we didn't really, I don't know a ton about him. We travel a lot together, but he wasn't exactly he was a really, really good golfer, but we never really saw him. So it's kind of hard to get too close to him.
One of my favorite pastimes is following him on Instagram. And when he posts his caption in South Korean and then you hit translate on Instagram,
does it translate, kind of, right?
I don't think so, that's what I'm saying. Is kind of fun. So looking at what he says and all the comments, is kind of funny.
That was always our friend. He did teach me a little bit of Korean, so I guess I could give him that.
There you go.
Not that I've been able to use much of it, but
right.
At least he tried.
I just got to, I would assume a low point in your career was the night you lost to Jonathan Bird in 2015 in night golf. Can you tell us what you took from... Yeah, I know. We asked the hard questions
that.
Here on CJ. Yeah, I know.
That was so tough. But it's not fair, and I told him it wasn't fair because he's already made a hole-in-one in the dark. He made a hole-in-one at the Shriners at night, right before they blew the horn, and then all of a sudden they throw me, who's completely
a rookie.
Not a veteran at that. I'm playing a golf course I've never played. They throw some glow sticks on us and pretty much put me up against Tiger 2000, and it just wasn't
fair. Max, you can't compare Jonathan Bird to Tiger 2000 on this podcast. Like,
no,
we're not.
I'm talking Tiger 2000 compared to under the moon Jonathan Bird. Nobody's ever walked off hole in one a golf tournament before except Jonathan Bird. Not even Tiger 2000.
That's pretty gangster.
So I'm being put up against. I was in a bad situation, and I had to go play him. And man, it was just tough. I kind of just knew it was going to happen. I tried my best, but man, he was a veteran.
Yeah, he stuck it to you pretty good. But I'm sure you draw on that a lot when you're in competition now. Like, I'm sure final stage of Q school, you'll easily be in the top 44. At this point, I feel like you're going to be like just saying, you know, I'm just going to win the thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. You just want to get in the top 44, but you're going to want to win it down the stretch. And I know you're going to draw on the Jonathan Bird night golf situation. So.
100%. The actual funny thing about that is, have you guys been to that Memphis tournament before?
No.
You know it? Okay, that 11th hole is like it's a complete island. It's not long, but it's a little intimidating. But every time I got out there for the rest of the week, I was like, dude, you just did this in the dark. So we could probably do it in the dark now. Yeah.
So, Max, let me ask you this. Who do you think is the most interesting guy on the PGA Tour or the Web Tour that, you know, most people don't know about?
I feel like a lot of people know about Andrés Gonzalez. He's pretty damn interesting. But I don't feel like he gets a ton of publicity. He does have that Fu Manchu going for him.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps him stick out. But he is so funny. And he's more energy than I've ever seen on anybody in my life. So he's interesting. There's good interesting, and then there's interesting. I would say
interesting. I want to hear that.
I mean, he's too famous that Bryson DeChambeau is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
He's got it all kind of swirling around his brain. I got to go Dre, man. He's so funny. It's hard to beat him. Colt knows he is the funniest.
He's a good Twitter follow.
He's the best. I've been lucky. I've known him forever. He's hilarious. They're about right. For the most part, I feel like everybody now knows the social media thing has helped so much of like spreading the word on who is, you know, kind of over the top funny and always joking around and who's more just like the golf side of it. And I think Dre does a good job of kind of blending in, but also if you're ever around him, you will not stop laughing.
What do you think? I mean, do you hear a lot from, you know, the trolls out there, or do you, you know, how do you handle that and even us, we talk about the DFS and the daily fantasy and fantasy golf. Do you get any of that on Twitter, or are you just kind of avoid all that?
Yeah. I got it plenty. The tough thing for me, my first time ever when I first got out there and started, you know, going on Twitter or whatever, you get a decent amount and it's funny. And, you know, some of it's a little bit annoying, but I mean, who cares? You know, if you're going to make fun of me behind a computer screen, I don't really, you know, it's not going to hurt me too bad. I don't really care what you think about me. However, what I will say did get a little annoying this year was that I saw somebody tagged me right before the island, and I had already had a terrible fall and, just a terrible year in general, but a terrible fall. And I go to Sea Island and I just see my name pop up in something and I click on it and he wrote like, gosh, who would have been the other name? It was something like Kevin Kisner and Max Homa. So I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, maybe like, you know, favorite golfer out at the week or something like that. So I click on the thread and it said, hey, DFS guys, for a chance to win an extra $100, in order, name who you think's going to get first and last. So I get Kevin Kisner, and then I look under, and I have that like four or five times. And I'm not going to lie, that hurt a little bit. That didn't feel great. So that hurt. But yeah, the trolls, they suck. I don't think they understand how stupid it is. But I like to respond every once in a while just to prove that, like, because most of the trolls are not smart. I mean, they're not smart people. So. At the very least, I might not be the greatest person ever with a driver in my hand, but I'm pretty good behind my own keyboard. So I like to at least police a little bit of it, but, it gets old and it's just stupid. I don't get why you got to do it. Everybody's out there trying. I think Graham DeLette did a good job with those with at least the fantasy side of it this season. But I don't get the fantasy BS about it and getting all mad, but that just general troll, they're the worst of all time. So
yeah, those guys are all probably PR majors.
Exactly.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah, I thought Graham did do a good job actually. We told him we want to have him on the show. We're trying, but
he's great. So he's yeah. Awesome, dude.
So I read that if you weren't playing golf, you'd want to be a broadcaster. So a couple questions here: if you were a broadcaster, what sport would you like to call the most? And then, you know, as a follow-up to that, also, you know, how would you change broadcasting, especially golf, if you're watching golf on TV?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. If I was going to broadcast, I'd broadcast golf just because I know the most about it, and I feel like I know a lot about the players and the mindset that goes into it. So I'd like to do that. I mean, if I could do anything in the world, it would be football, but I mean, I'm not, I know that's not realistic. So if I could do golf, though, I really wish a few things. I really wish more of the in the booth broadcasters showed a little more emotion when somebody hit a great shot, because I think that from 180 yards and a guy hits it to 12 feet right of the pin, it's back left. That's a phenomenal golf shot, like phenomenal. And they'll be like, okay, nice. You know, he took the water out of play, and you're like, come on, dude. Like he's 18 feet from the water now, 12 feet from the hole. Like, that's a phenomenal golf shot. You don't hear about it much unless the ball goes in. I feel like Faraday and McCord have done great job on course of being like, that is impossible. Like, what he just did is impossible. Because then what happens is that the common golf fan who doesn't watch all the time just sees somebody get up there and stiff a 5-iron to 10, 15 feet and be like, oh yeah, well, that's what he's supposed to do. And it's just not true. Like, that couldn't be farther from the truth. So I would change that a little bit more emotion and stuff, and setting up the golf shots for how hard they really are. Not just kind of, oh yeah, well, he's aiming, he hit it 12 feet left and he was probably aiming right there. Like that's not enough for me. It's too hard to just, basically create this whole expectation of the play of a professional golfer that, oh yeah, I mean, if he hits it to 30 feet, it was a complete whiff. And if he hits it to 12 feet, it was average. I just don't love that.
Yeah. I think, it's interesting that I would like to see it, you know, more of the players that are like just battling the cut line, you know, and they don't 100%. Show that obviously. Yeah. And who knows, maybe you'll see that more.
As somebody who's done that about 40 times in the last couple of years, the battling the cut line is the most interesting thing, because if you're not playing great golf, clearly, but you're not playing bad, so you know you can do something, and it's just a sweat for like 4 or 5 holes. I at the Tiger or the Quicken Loans 2 years ago birdied my last 5 holes to make the cut on the nose, and obviously didn't get any publicity for it, and I didn't deserve it, and nobody knows who I am, and plus, I mean, it was at, you know, the last tee time of the week. But I mean, that was that was exciting. Like, that was some like fun golf from somebody you wouldn't know necessarily be watching for the rest of the week. And I think that would be great if they could show a bit more on that. They seem to like click over every once in a while and be like, oh yeah, this is to make the cut or something like that. And it's like, that winning a golf tournament is huge, but like making the cut, you have to make the cut. Like, that's a major part in it. At the very least, you're talking about somebody's, you know, making $10,000, $12,000 versus making zero and having to go home and figure out what they're going to do for 4 days.
All right, so last question, then I'm going to flip it over to David to get you in the native area. But in your PGA Tour profile, it says Lucky Charm is your first tee ball marker. What is that? What the hell is your Lucky Charm?
Do you know what the first tee is, the first tee program?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just that I went and did a couple things with them, and one of the kids gave me like a blue first tee ball marker, and I used it forever, or for like my whole senior year of college and then first year pro, but then my caddy finally pointed out that it's a little bit too big and too bright, so I just keep it in my bag now. But yeah, it was just a nice little memento that some young kid gave me, and I appreciated it. And it says respect on the back, and that's always been a big thing. Learn about I had a terrible attitude growing up as a young golfer. And the way I fixed it was I finally found out that it's disrespectful to your group if you're being a dick, pretty much, because they're trying to, you know, make money like you're trying to make money. So that's how I got it. So it just kind of, at the time, it was nice to read a lot. But yeah, it's just that. It's nothing special.
Cool. Way to flip that around on him, Max.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was going to be something like ridiculous. And no, it was actually sentimental.
Well, and Pat is yet to learn that lesson when he's out on the course with me and our guys too. So that's good. Way to turn that around.
One of the pillars, bud.
Yeah, it's one of the pillars, right? Hey, do you get hit up by friends and family for clubs all the time? Or like, what happens to all the clubs you get, all the clothes you guys get? Like, what happens to all that stuff? Do you save all of it?
Clothes. The Travis Matthew clothes I like to give to my roommate because we're, you know, about the same size. I'll give, you know, away to some of my friends if it's not too old. But the problem is with the golf clubs is, like, the other day I was playing and I played with these guys that I know, but I don't play with too often. And they're like, do you have any extra wedges at home? Do you have any extra drivers? Do you have any extra this and that? I'm like, I do, but like, they're old. Like, you don't want them. Like, I stopped using them because they're old. The only thing I have that is new at home are putters, and I'm not giving away a Scotty Cameron too easily. You need to earn that. So it's just tough. I feel bad doing it, but we don't just get free. Like, I mean, you probably could, but I don't just get free golf clubs and then just never touch them. Like, I start using them and I stop using something because it's freaking, you know, old and the grooves are dead. So I don't like giving away golf clubs for that matter. I don't want to look like the guy that gave away, like, you know, a year old set of irons and then was like, you know, it just, I feel like it's not as polite. You would want to kind of be like, hey, you know, I can help you get a set or a set of wedges or whatever. But yeah, it just kind of goes into the abyss, I guess. I mean, I eventually will. I have the wedges in my garage right now that are just really old and I really need to just throw them out, but I feel bad about just dumping them. So maybe I'll find a poor sucker that doesn't care and dump them. But for the time being, they just sit there.
Interesting. I've always wondered about that. All right, Max, we are going to take you into the native area segment on our podcast. And we have a guest on and we just like to throw out some random questions. We've talked some golf related stuff, but we want to talk about some stuff off the course as well. And, you know, you're welcome to pass on a question if you like. Have we had someone pass a question? I think, didn't we just have one person pass one? Did Lawrence Pines pass on a question?
I think he may have.
I don't remember. Maybe we've had one person pass. We should keep a better record of that. But, yeah, you're in the native area. So, you know, you're not sure what you're going to get. Your lie is questionable. So, we're gonna end the podcast with the native area, and I'm gonna get it started. Max, what's the most memorable? Like, what's your favorite podcast or radio interview that you've ever done?
That I've ever done. Mm-hmm. The hardest answer here is this one.
Right. Well, yeah, I knew you're gonna say that, but no, this was not over yet. But you can't make that judgment.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. I really enjoyed doing the No Laying Up podcast. That was really fun. It was kind of early, so they weren't getting like the Rorys yet. So I felt pretty cool at the time, and that was really fun. So I'm going to go with that.
Actually, Max, I teed you up for that question for two reasons. One, that answer. So I was going to say, you know, there's something that you and the Tour Junkies have in common, and that is that we've both been forgotten by now by Solly at No Laying Up. As early podcast guests, now that he's got Rory on. So, because we were actually on.
No brainer. You can't be mad about that.
No, I'm not mad about it. We were actually on like three episodes after you in April. You were on in February. We were on in April of 2016. Yeah. And they still have our old logo up on the website too. I saw that last night.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
You guys are salty now, huh?
I'm a little salty. No, this guy's doing great things. I figured that was what you were going to say. The second reason I asked that question is to tee you up for the next one. Is there a worst podcast or radio interview that you've ever done that you would disclose? Like, what was just the most awkward, just weird or dumb, cliche interview?
Does it have to be a radio? Could it just be regular?
No.
Right. I lost against Thomas Peters at Nationals for the team event in the semis in 20 holes. And I mean, I don't cry very often at all. And I lost it. And they asked me to do a couple interviews, and I had to sit and do a damn interview while there's just like red and tears coming down my eyes. And I feel so bad because the entire team, we had like the best year ever, and the entire team was basically, you know, watching and relying on me to win, and I didn't do it. And that one sucked, because I said, who wants to watch some poor 22-year-old just ball? And second of all, it's not like I was giving great content at the time. So that wasn't fun, yeah, nor was it. And it just sits on YouTube, and I hate it. I just hate it.
Yeah, that's that would not be fun. Thomas Peters, if you're out there listening, screw you, man.
I wish he was more of a dick so I could actually hate him, but he's pretty nice.
I know. All right. Be honest, have you ever Googled yourself?
What's up, golf addicts? Hope you're enjoying the Max Homa interview so far. Before we find out if Max has ever Googled himself, if you enjoy liquor, if you enjoy fine spirits, whether it's whiskeys, bourbons, vodkas, gins, scotch, whatever it is, we want to tell you about Flaviar.com, FLAVIAR.com. Flaviar is the world's largest online club for spirits enthusiasts. Their goal is to basically help people discover and experience spirits in a new and fun way. They have over 15,000 rare, hard-to-find spirits at their disposal, right? So here's the deal. We got a couple things we want to tell you guys about as the weeks go on. But the number one thing is you sign up with Flaviar.com, and you're going to get a themed tasting box that lets you try different spirits. If you like them, you can go on Flaviar's site and have access to these rare and hard-to-find spirits and buy the full bottles at a discount, right? Super cool. The really cool thing about this is they have a vault. This vault is full of hard-to-find, rare spirits from all over the world, okay, in all those different categories. If you want one of those spirits, they open the vault once a month to members only. When they open the vault, you have access to go online, add your spirit, and buy straight from the website. It's super cool. It's a fantastic way to try new stuff, impress your friends, look really a lot more important than you are, which Pat and I enjoy doing a lot. And here's the thing, Christmas is around the corner. You can do this for yourself or as a gift. It's a fantastic gift. It's really even not that expensive. It's $60 for a quarter, and it's $210 for the year. You can cancel anytime with no stress. They usually have a waiting list for this, but they have arranged a backdoor offer just for our listeners. So if you go to Flaviar.com/exclusive, FLAVIAR.com/exclusive, and use the coupon code TOURJUNKIES, all one word, you can get into the club, join myself and Pat, and let's experiment with some rare podcast juices from around the world. It's perfect for us. It's just absolutely perfect. So check it out. We appreciate those guys partnering with us. For now, back to the Max Homa interview. I wonder if he's Googled himself. Let's find out.
Of course.
Okay.
Anybody who has not Googled themselves is such a liar. I've Googled myself. I mean, not a lot, because there's not a lot of good on there, but I've Googled it.
I don't think Pat doesn't know how to Google yet. Pat, have you ever, you know what Google is?
I've Googled myself.
Of course you have.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever Googled myself. Seriously. Why would I need to Google myself? There's nothing on me. Well, I don't have anything on me.
But maybe there is. That's the whole
maybe
point.
All the fame and, maybe all the fame and fortune from TJ has finally caught up with me.
Yeah, maybe you're missing out on a lot of opportunities, and you're just assuming that you're not famous and on there.
Huh.
Or maybe there's another David Barnett out there who's interesting.
Ooh. No,
more interesting than you.
No, that's ridiculous. Max,
you're in style.
part two of that question, have you ever Google imaged yourself?
Oh, yeah, but I have multiple reasons. Sometimes, back when I used to have an Instagram, I would Google myself after a good tournament so I could post something that somebody took of me.
Nice.
So that was wonderful. But other times, I mean, I have had to use it because people ask me for a picture of myself and I don't have any on my phone. So I'll just send them a Google image.
Well, you know, I always like to Google image everybody we talk to, and even though I know like what you look like, but I always like to do that. And I found yesterday you're kind of interesting. Like there's something weird about you, and it's the fact that there are literally zero pictures of you with a female on Google image. Like zero. you scroll as you're scrolling down. I'm like, oh, surely there's going to be like an old one of like him and his high school flame or something. And I'm scrolling down, and there's nothing. Like, you get the pictures of Billy Horschel and Pimp Strap Tiger Woods at the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine are on your Google image. If you Google image Max Homa, you get two pictures of Billy Horschel and Pimp Strap Tiger, and then no more Max Homa. Zero pictures of you and a lady. Do you like girls yet? Are you there yet? Like, what's going on, Max? We want to know about your dating life and what's going on. You're in L.A. There are ladies everywhere. You're about to be 27. According to PGA Tour, it says you're 6'2", 175, which probably means you're 6'1", 175. Like, you're a golfer? Like, what's the deal, man? Tell us.
Dude, I'm like Derek Jeter, man. It's hard. I'm nice and discreet. Like, I keep it, keep my personal life as personal as I can. I have a girlfriend. I just don't need to post about her all over the internet. And I don't have an Instagram, which helps a whole lot. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not one to, I don't understand why people have to always go out and take a picture everywhere they go. I'd like to just live it a little bit, but, I'm glad you noticed that. I guess I'm doing a good job.
Yeah. Respect, man. I mean, I was a little concerned. I'm like, this is weird.
No, it's all good.
Cause I mean, literally you Google anyone, Google image, any golfer, you scroll enough, you're going to get, you know, the pictures and you're right. A lot of it's probably off of Instagram. And no Instagram account for you. That's odd, right? For a 20, almost 27 year old tour pro guy. Like, why no Instagram? You're just not a fan.
I cut it out. I mean, I'm a millennial, but I just hate millennials. And that is the most millennial thing there is, because I just don't think that nobody cares what I'm about to eat. Nobody cares where I'm going. Nobody cares pretty much about anything on Instagram, that unless it's something like I won or accomplished. And even then, it's just every single thing is a humble brag. And I get it that if you're a Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth or somebody big time, that, you know, you have fans that actually want to see where you're going and what you're doing and the lifestyle that you lead. I don't lead an interesting enough lifestyle. So every picture you would see me post, I got sick of, because I realized I'm just bragging to the world about what I'm doing. I'm bragging that I'm in Vegas. I'm bragging that, you know, MGM's putting on a function that I'm in or whatever it is. Like, and I got sick of that. And I wasn't going to, like I said, I don't want to give up a bunch of my personal life. So I'm not going to take a bunch of pictures of my family and whatnot. So, I mean, it's just disgusting these days. People take pictures of everything just to show to their friends, to show that they're having a better time than you are. I hate that. I got so sick of that. So I cut it out like a year ago, and it feels so good.
I respect that, Max. I respect that. That's good. That's good. Well, so you got a girlfriend. Well, you're in LA. So, like, who's your celebrity crush that, like, I'm sure your girlfriend's a great girl, but your celebrity crush?
She said I could have a pass on Jennifer Aniston if I ever can get there. But
is that your celebrity? That would be the one?
Yeah, I mean, it's changing these days because, like, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be Jennifer Aniston for all of us, buddy. Now it's not.
Yeah. Who would it be now? Damn, that's a hard question. There's so many in Los Angeles and in the country. I love... Oh, who was that? Did you guys see the Transformers movie after Megan Fox got dumped?
Not after Megan Fox.
Accent? The Australian chick. Whatever her name is.
Okay.
I also love Megan Fox.
Yes. Well, I just... my wife and I I had to inform her. She's always known mine to be Carrie Underwood, but recently it's changed. You know, you evolve, right? You evolve. And, now it's Tori Kelly. Do you know Tori Kelly?
Oh, the singer with the crimped hair.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, big fan of her.
That's not a bad choice there. That's pretty good.
You see her play electric guitar in a skirt.
Yikes. I got no clue who that is.
Yeah, you'll Google him.
What's yours then?
Barbara Streisand?
I'd go back to Jennifer Aniston. I mean, look, I'm 40
it's hard
now.
To beat, bud.
She's kind of around my age, so I'd still go Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, you definitely have a shot too. Now since she's around your age.
Yeah. So speaking. All right, go ahead.
Well, I got more questions about Max off the course game. Like, Max, when you were a single guy on tour, what's your move? Like, did you pick up a girl on the golf course? Did you pick up a girl after? Like, and what have you seen? What's kind of the craziest thing you've seen these young single guys on tour do as far as getting ladies?
Well, I've been dating my girl for a long time, so I never was part
of
the whole golf ball throwing thing. But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of crazy, but I will say that it is funny how simple it can be for some people. Like I always thought the golf ball throwing with the phone number on it was the cheesiest thing ever, but it works a lot from what I hear. a lot. And you just think, it just sounds like the corniest thing. It's so nerdy. You're handing them a golf ball. Like, they don't want the golf ball. They don't care. And you put your number on it. It's just terrible. But that seems to work a lot. That's a huge go-to from what I've heard. Other than that, I did find that from the stories and stuff from some of the other guys that I don't really go out to the bars much during the week or whatever, but I know that there are certain tour stops where that is you will find some sort of, whatever you want to call it, golf fan groupie at certain bars in certain cities. So I think that's what makes it so easy. I think they know where everybody goes if they want to meet up with some sort of golfer.
All
you
right,
guys were the ones that tweeted at me and asked me who had the most game and least game, right?
Was that us?
Is that you guys? And I said it was Kevin Tway had the worst, and you guys got all sad because you couldn't believe it.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, you guys didn't catch my complete sarcasm after I said Bryson.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
You guys said who has the most and who has the least, and I said Bryson, and then I said Kevin Tway has the least, and Kevin's one of my best friends, and he does just fine. So I didn't know if you guys caught that I was being a little bit.
Hard to hard to pick that up on Twitter.
Yeah.
We didn't know your boys with Kevin Tway.
No,
we've heard we had a caddy tell us Seamus Power's got a lot of game.
Yeah, Gino said that. I don't know a whole bunch about Seamus, but I mean it can't be hard with the accent. I feel like it's cheating with the accent. That's not fair.
Yeah.
I used to hang. My old roommate was from New Zealand, and like the moment he started talking, I was already pushed to the side. It wasn't fair.
You're instant wingman.
Yeah, instantly, and I'm like, I'm interesting.
So I got a question here. This is from my heart, you know, because I mentioned I'm over 40 now, so you know this comes up for me, and I just need to know what do you do when you need to take a shit like really bad during the round? I mean. Because that concerns me.
During the round.
Like, what's the process for that? I mean, is it different if you're a web guy or a PGA guy? I mean, or is it, you know, per event? I mean, what's going on? It really just makes me nervous. I need to hear what I'm going to, you know, not me, but what you got to do when you got to just take this big dump.
I have been lucky and not had to deal with that too bad, but I will say that there are some times in South America where it gets a bit dicey when you're drinking that water and eating that food because it can come on you pretty quick. I think you have – here's my advice. Instead of getting a yardage guide before the round, get a map and map out the bathroom situation and know where you can make a stop before there's a big lull. It's kind of like when they say that the next gas station on the freeway isn't for 80 miles, so you should probably, you know, get some gas before you run out. Like, that's how you need to start living your golfing life. And, you know, preparation is very important. And I think that you might need to start
you know, diving into this side of the mental game before you, you know, you hit too many more golf balls on the range.
Pro tip. Pro tip.
Yeah, that's I like that. I like that.
Excellent advice.
I'm going to use that. all right, so you're about to get in a fight. Now, I'm sure you may be a lover, not a fighter, but I need to know, what's the jam that could come on that's going to get you through this fight?
I get background music?
Yeah.
It's
like Street Fighter.
DMX.
DMX!
Rough Riders. Come on. That's got to get going. I do have one funny story about that. Golfers don't fight very often, so don't get me for some tough guy. But I was at a tournament once, and we finished, and one of my friends, I think it was the night, I can't remember, but somebody did something good. So we went out and had some drinks, and I was with some of my friends, and I'm over talking to a few people, and I turn around, and my friend is nose to nose with another guy right next to the bar, and his friend, who is enormous, I mean, he's 6'7", is standing to the, like, over my friend, and there's another friend to his left, and I'm like, oh God. And I go walking over there. I'm pretty much walking over there, just knowing I'm going to get my ass beat. But I was like, I got to at least help here a little bit. And I get over there, and I get about there, and I'm ready to take one to the face. And I hear, no, dude, I'm 6'1". No, I'm 6 foot. And they're measuring each other in the bar to see who was taller.
I thought they were nose to nose ready to fight.
Oh, I thought they were nose-to-nose ready to fight. I looked to the guy to the right, that's 6'7", and I said, I thought I was about to just get my ass kicked by you. I'm really glad that the situation that we found ourselves in.
Remember when he used to pray at the end of every album that the last song would be a prayer?
No, I never actually was even old enough to be allowed to buy the albums. I just know that.
Oh, God.
Have you heard him do the jingle or the Christmas songs? That's
no.
Oh man, look that up. Well, Rough Riders obviously is a jam and it's a classic. But then he, to me, once I got old enough, he got most famous for doing all the Christmas songs in his his voice. It's pretty good.
No way, I've not heard that. See, I'm an OG DMX guy, man. I was buying his albums when they were fresh.
That's so cool.
All right, sorry, Pat, I hijacked that. Go ahead.
That's all right. I'm kind of tuned out there. On the DMX talk. All right. Other than Twitter, what three apps on your phone get used the most?
Ooh, I'm gonna look. Fantasy football.
Okay.
I'm in a. Oh, Yahoo Sports. Oh, and the weather app.
That was only two. We need one more.
He said fantasy football in the Yahoo app.
Fantasy football, Yahoo Sports, weather.
Okay. All right. I thought Yahoo and fantasy football were one and the same. But okay. All right. So we know you're a big Office fan. What is your favorite Office episode?
Oh,
and also, I want to know what golfer friend you have that would. Yeah.
What was the second part of that question? You just rocked my world.
All right, so after you figure out what your favorite is, what golfer friend do you have is most like Dwight Schrute?
Okay, hold on. I got to think about that. All right, my favorite episode, I got 10,000, but my favorite episode, one of my favorite episodes got to be when Michael roasts the whole office and he does the boom roasted. I know it's a very popular one, but that thing had me crying.
Yeah, that's a great one. That is a good one.
My other favorite might be when Dwight finally pranks back Jim, and he's walking through the parking lot with all the snowmen, and he knows Dwight's in one of them, and he's whacking all of them, and Dwight's just standing up top on the roof, just shaking his head. That gets me pretty good.
Awesome.
All right. Okay. Oh gosh, this is so hard. Dwight, one of my friends that I golf with that's a lot like Dwight. Oh man. There's nobody quite like Dwight Schrute. This is impossible. There's nobody like it. Who can I just make fun of for being weird? I'm gonna go with Hagee.
Really?
Kinda like that. He's very responsible.
I could go with that because I can prank him anytime. That's easy.
It's easy. He's a great assistant to the regional manager. He's very responsible. And easy. Like,
exactly. He's the most responsible person I've met. He's 50 years old he's 26 going on 50.
Is he like pissing ass to Tim Fincham all the time, you think, when he sees Tim? I mean, not Tim, Jay Monahan. That's awesome.
He's so smart. He probably gets the whole business side of the PGA Tour while everybody else is just out there, you know, too busy trying to figure out how to putt it into the hole. And he's like, oh, this is so easy. I'm going to also learn about the business side so I can one day be the commissioner of the PGA Tour. I could see that for him.
Yes. What's the weirdest thing a fan has ever asked you to sign or to do?
Well, these days, anything, because if you want me to sign something, your priorities are too bad.
They think you're Billy Horschel. They Google image you before, and they think you're Billy Horschel.
I've walked to tees before. I actually remember the last time I was at the Valero. I walked to tees, and people think that I'm Dustin Johnson, and I die laughing, because first of all, I'm never in a good tee time. Second of all, I'm about 4 inches taller than him. Third of all, Travis Matthew wears all Adidas. I'm just like, guys, you got to figure this out. I mean, if you want me to sign, I'll write it on your baby or whatever, but I've never actually had to sign anything too weird. I will say that, like, when people bring a different type of ball or something, like, that's always weird. You get a lot in South America where you sign kind of random stuff, but I just think that's because they don't, like, you know, it's not like they have a ton of, like, golf gloves and stuff just laying around. So, nothing too weird. But like I said, anything these days, I'll sign. Boost my confidence.
There you go. All right. So, I got one. And one more, and I'll let David kind of wrap us up. So, James Corden is getting you into the in carpool karaoke. I'm sure you've seen that.
Oh, hell yeah. That's my favorite.
What two songs are you singing?
I'm doing Hot in Here by Nelly.
Yikes. Well, throwback. Okay.
And I'm doing, you want like a newer song? What is a new song?
Whatever you.
My favorite singer of all time is Alicia Keys. So.
Really?
I'm doing, song do I like this thing? No one. I would sing No One because I could belt it as loud as I want. And in my car, it sounds phenomenal.
Wow, Mac. That's a tough song. She's up there. Like, she can sing up there a little bit. Yeah. I'm having a hard time.
A lot of respect in the car. She gets it. You know, she kind of lets me go and I let her go. And we kind of find the harmony somewhere in there.
It sounds like you're a 90s hip hop fan. You into some 90s hip-hop?
I didn't even know what I am, I guess. I've listened to a lot of Backspin on Sirius, learning more about old school music.
Backspin with Sway? Isn't he on that?
No, he's on Day 45. Sway in the morning.
Yeah. We're old enough to remember when Sway was just some DJ on MTV. Like, probably don't even remember that. Yeah, but...
No, that just sounds like they're old.
Yeah, it is. But that's cool, man. DMX and the St. Lunatics and Nelly, those were my boys coming up. I was kind of the hip-hop guy. Pat's not really a hip-hop guy. Did you ever see Pat's video on our Twitter of him rapping to Gangsta's Paradise?
No.
Okay, we're going to have to tag you.
I'm already cringing.
It is way worse than what you are picturing in your head.
It is. And
we're
going
to have to tag you in that.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah,
I
was
see
thinking
that.
It was so good. Yeah, he lost a bet, and that's what I made him do. He had to memorize a verse and a hook from a song of our choice. We had our listeners kind of bet on it or vote on it, and he did it, and it was really, really bad. He has zero rhythm. He can't hear the beat. It's terrible. So we'll be sure to tag you in that.
You got to give me credit, though, for the hair. I had the...
Yeah, he did the hair.
Did you put gel in it? Do you guys have gel in the South? I always want to ask that.
David has it. David knows where to find it. I'm not sure where it is.
Are you referring to like the Southern Boy swoop with like Pat Rock and like Patton Kizzire and Kisner and all that.
Yeah, you guys don't know what product, like you don't have to just let it lay there. Like you can do something with it. You're allowed.
Max, I do. Obviously you don't know. Like I do that. I know,
but you, God, man, it's just everybody just has the same little
the southern of
the
swoop.
Hair. Yeah, the swoop. The yeah, man.
Ollie Schneider Dan.
Way calls Bobby Wyatt dry hair. That's his whole nickname. That's it.
Bobby Wyatt.
We had a bet last year, Trey Molnack and Sway, that if, I can't remember what had to happen, but Trey would put gel in his hair and get skinny jeans if Sway did something good, I think. But it never happened, and I wish it would have.
David, that That's might awesome. Need to be one of our, that could be one of our next bets.
That could be.
Change it up. I'd be willing to change it up.
I've lost a bet to Pat, and I had to wear pleated pants for a day, and it was horrible. I did that.
Yeah,
I had to do
really
that, too.
Look.
Yeah, that's... Before Pat met me, that was his look. I mean, I remember, Pat, one of the first times we hung out, we played golf or something, and you made fun of me. We were riding down the fairway or something, and you made fun of me about something, and I already had been thinking it, and when you made fun of me, I was just like, all right, I'm going to let him know. I'd already been thinking about your pleated shorts, and when you ripped on me, I instantly was like, yeah, all right, well, I'm not wearing pleated Dockers out here on the golf course. It's been a joke ever since. It is
bad look.
So if we're in your town, man, if we're out in L.A., you live like outskirts of L.A., kind of, is that right?
I live in Long Beach.
Long Beach, LBC. If we're out in the LBC, and you're treating us to dinner and drink, where are we going? What are we eating? And what's like Max Homa's drink? What's the choice? What are you going to treat us to?
I'll treat you guys. Well, if we're going to dinner, well, what kind of, you guys want like really good food, or you want like what
it's,
I eat?
It's whatever. If we're in LBC for a night and you got to show us LBC, and we're going to go to one spot, you pick it out. It's up to you.
All right, we're going to Riley's on 2nd Street, where we can watch every game there is. We're going to have a beer there and some dinner. So you guys can get burgers, whatever you want. And then after that, we're going next door to Shannon's, which is a dive bar. And you guys are going to drink my friend Peter's drink, which is tequila, a little bit of orange juice, and a little bit of Sprite. And we're going to drink about 100 of those.
Yikes.
And you have to drink about 100 so that you no longer feel the disgustingness of the bar that we are currently in. And once that, you know, sets aside, then we, you know, walk down the street and we get pizza. And then we sleep till as late as we possibly can and try to do it again in the morning.
Dear God, Max.
Yeah.
Max is trying to get us killed or knock us up.
Yeah.
Tequila?
Tequila. That's all I drink now. I used to be a big Jack Daniels fan, and that had to stop. So I had to go to something a little more clear.
Well, yeah, but still, that's potent, man. That's impressive. I'm looking forward to that. One of these days, we'll have to make that happen. Pat is a good time with any amount of liquor. He's a really good time. So, Max, have you ever, be honest now, and you're not going to hurt our feelings, have you ever listened to our podcast?
Of course. I listen to Lawrence Hines, Gino, and Kisner.
Okay. Okay.
I think that might be it. But, yeah, I listen to those. I love Kizzer. He's always funny, but my favorite was probably Gino, just because I know him and he's not as well known as Kiz. So it's nice to people, you know, start understanding how funny he is.
Oh, he's a trip. He is a trip. Well, thanks for listening, man. We appreciate that. We appreciate you coming on. Our listeners can follow you on Twitter, which we highly recommend. A great Twitter follow. I know you get asked about that all the time, but we just, there's nothing we can say other than you need to follow Max on Twitter. It's at MaxHoma23. And we're definitely going to be following you at Final Stage of Q School in a couple weeks, pulling for you there and working your way, you know, back up the web and get on the PGA Tour, man, because you're a winner. Like, I know a lot of, I've heard some tour pros say that Max Homa is a guy who can get on tour and win. So that's what we love to see, man, and we're hoping for you. We'd love to have you back on too.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I love being on. I love what you guys do. It's really fun. Taking a little lighter side on golf. And I love listening. So I appreciate being on this thing, and hope you guys keep doing your thing.